Morning. I'd like to call the April 8th, 2010, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board to meet. Order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Mr. Moore?
Here.
Dr. Vanneman?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
And Mr. Stevens?
Here.
And Mr. Cena?
Class.
Will all members of city staff who plan to testify come forward and be sworn, please? Have all members of the Code Enforcement Board had the opportunity to review the minutes? Are there any amendments, corrections?
I move the adoption of the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Is there any member of the code board who would like to make the board aware of any ex parte communications between any respondent who may be testifying today? Is there any member of council who will be representing any respondent today? Please come forward. Before I do that, I'd like to ask members of the audience, if you have your cell phones, would you please turn those on either silent or vibrate mode, please? Morning.
Good morning. This is on number two.
Page number two.
This matter concerns a violation for the construction of a parking lot that was not permitted or approved by the city.
Let me just read the case and pull the record into the record. Case number two is CEB 1109200, Downtown Daytona 2000 Incorporated, and that's 861 Bully Road. Would you state your name, please?
Edmund Waldron. The respondent has proceeded with the city to bring this into compliance. We've submitted plans to the city. They have been approved. I'd like to put into the record a copy of the letter from the City of Daytona Beach approving the plans, together with a copy of the approved plans for the construction of the parking lot. I took a copy of the approved plans off the city's website. In fact, the city is working with the respondent. We've entered into an agreement for the beautification of this area. The city is going to be contributing into a grant. We've ordered the fencing. We've ordered the landscaping to begin. The permits have been applied for on the fencing and the landscaping. We have brought this property, I believe, into compliance with the city's ordinances. And I would ask at this time to move for dismissal of this in the interest of justice.
Robert, what are your thoughts?
As he said, they constructed the parking lot without a permit.
Yes.
And as of right now, they still have no permit. They're making progress toward getting a permit, but they don't have one yet. So I would just like to amend this to the next meeting. He's still in violation of building that.
Mr. Waldron,
you into compliance yet?
He doesn't have the permit yet.
He hasn't come into compliance?
He has no permit.
If he hasn't come into compliance, then we can't do a lien review because one of our rules for lien review
is case number two.
I'm sorry, I thought you were doing a lien review. Okay.
Mr. Waldron, you think your client will be able to have the permit that's necessary prior to our next meeting or before the next cutoff date, which is May 5th?
Absolutely.
Could you enlighten me, this has been going on now for months, what it is that it takes to get a permit, what is it that's the holdup?
Have you ever applied for a permit from the City of Daytona Beach?
God, I haven't, no. So I'm asking you, could you just be frank with us?
There are many steps that you must comply with. There are many reviews that you must go through with. The plan, when you decide to have a project, you meet with the city early on. The city tells you whether they feel that that fits within their program. You prepare a set of drawings, submit it for review. Comments are made on those set of drawings by about eight departments, even for a temporary parking lot. Each of those departments comes up with either an objection that must be overcome or a comment that you must incorporate into your drawings. You send your drawings back for preparation. They are resubmitted, and they go through the review again. After they go through the review again, you have several meetings to discuss how the city will approve and what process they wish for. When you meet all of these hurdles and go through them, you finally have a final sit-down meeting where the city looks at the plans and decides whether you're in compliance or not, which we have done. We have also, as of last Thursday, we held the pre-construction meeting on this property with the engineering department of the city, where they again looked at our plans, commented on them, and approved them. And at this time, most of the work does not require a permit, we've been advised. The fence has been, the permit has been applied for. It's in fabrication. The landscaping, for the most part, is in, does not require a permit. But I certainly think by May 5th, this will be a done deal. And this is for a temporary parking lot. My goodness, if it was a vertical building, we would not be ready yet. That does not mean that this city doesn't do an excellent job. I have built with cities all over the state. This is one of the most competent and professional cities in dealing with applicants and developers who come in to do work. They take their work seriously, and they move it along seriously. So it's not something that, although it seems like a long time, for someone in the business, the city does an excellent job.
Thank you.
Mr. Kish has recommended that we allow the respondents until our next cutoff, which will be May 5th, and Mr. Waldron, the counsel for the respondent, has stated that he believes that his client will have the permits in place. Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until our May 5th, 2010 cutoff to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine. We have a motion by Mr. Boren, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We've allowed you until May 5th to your client, Mr. Walden, to come into compliance.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bob.
Now we're going to go back in order to our lien review, which is lien review number one. That's case number CEB020842, 1300 3rd Street, Natalie James. Is the respondent here? If it's the pleasure of the board, we can delay this one and put it to the end to allow the respondent the opportunity to show up.
Chairman, there are people here that are on the list to be worked with this morning. Hopefully, okay. We get those people
sure.
In front before having to wait all morning.
Right. Okay.
If we delay it till the end, I would suggest we do it at the end, and not just when she shows up.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if I could just address more on that issue. And I was just confirming with the inspector. Last meeting, this was also on the lien review.
Right.
And Ms. James, we went and put this at the end of the stuff in the docket, and she never did show.
Right.
The inspector is staying here only for this case.
Okay.
Is it possible that maybe we push back an hour instead of waiting until the very end? And if she does call, give her half hour, but waiting until the very end, maybe. A little bit unreasonable saying that we waited the
right.
Whole meeting last month and she never
came. Well, just as a courtesy, Mr. Chair, if we can just do it after the continued cases since there are only 13 of those.
Well, she had the lien review last month. She didn't show up. She isn't here today. I suggest we just pass it.
Okay, correction. We're potential. Inspector informs me that he does see that he has one more. Okay, number 17. So if you follow the order, you want to hold it out.
Okay.
Okay. It's case 17.
Okay. We can take the lien review one, then after case number 17, to allow Mr. Kish the opportunity to leave.
Fine.
Okay. Sure. Do we need a vote? We don't need to vote for that. Okay. Okay. Lien review number two is case number CEB020313, 950 West Miller Court, Novella S. Allen. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Novella Allen.
Sorry about that, Ms. Allen.
So help me God.
Mark, what can you tell us?
Sorry to hear you, Mr. Chief.
What can you tell us about the case?
She's here for a lien review on the case that was quite old, and she is it was started a running by for some appearance issues and fever veins stuff that was applied for it sometime later, and she's here asking for a lien review. And the city's position is that we're willing to accept.
Sally.
Hard to believe. The city's willing to accept a reduced amount. Would I like to hear what she has to offer, though?
Okay.
Apparently, sometime, and I'm seeing this because I just found out about this in February of 2010, there was a request asking me to paint a fence and repair a fence and remove some paint or mildew or something. Based on the information that I've been able to collect thus far, that the board met as a result of that in 2003. The notice came apparently on the 27th of November, from my being able to dissect this as much as possible. No one was there to sign for it. I'm in the military and I was away. I also noticed that on the 26th day of March, the imposing fine began. And on the third day of February, I'm not clear on this. There's a lot of discrepancies here that I don't understand, and I didn't want to take the time to pay a lawyer to figure it out. But apparently, I was found to be in compliance on April the 4th of 2003, but I was being fined up until... Am I being fined as we speak?
No.
Okay.
Just so up until you came into compliance, 22 days.
Okay. I don't know any of this because, as I said, I was away and I was never received notice. I never received notice, but what I did know is that I live in the community, and my house, when I came to see it, was not ready for the neighborhood, so to speak, and I did fix it. I don't even remember when this was because this case is so old. As I was teasing a friend of mine, I said, there ought to be a statute of limitations at some point. But I do see that I was in compliance, but I never received any notices about either being out or in compliance.
Mr. Stevens, a member of the board, I objected to the fact that she said there's some discrepancies. The problem with it is, by our own testimony, it seemed to follow the track as we normally do. Notice
microphone
was given by postings because there was no recipient of the mail.
I need to get to the right.
The notice was given by notice of posting because there was, as she said, she was away. But as the facts were presented by her, it followed the circumstances that we normally do. Notice, code board, hearing, compliance, fine. So, like I say, what's happening?
How was it brought into compliance, Mark? Did you
get a reinspection?
Was it called for a reinspection?
I do not recall that. If there is a discrepancy there, I can't remember that.
Okay.
Ms. Allen, are you aware that you have the responsibility as the property owner to update your address, your current mailing address, to receive any information?
Yes, I did. That is still my address. I don't have a problem with the address, and something came to the house certified, and apparently the postman, knowing that no one was there, sent it back, apparently, because I do have copies.
Did
that
you receive
it came
any of
back.
The other notices that were mailed out, or were you aware of any postings that were placed on the property?
Okay, I don't understand posting. Posting mean it was placed on my door?
A notice.
Okay.
Yes.
I never received anything. As I said, I found out about this case on March the 23rd this year. This year. I never heard anything up until that time when I found out I had a lien on my property.
That's 7 years.
Yes, it is.
Ms. Holly, you said you're in the military.
Yes, I am.
You're in the military.
Are you active duty or reserve?
I'm active reserve at the moment. It's according to the president's discretion on what I do when.
At the time
At the time, yes, I was away.
Were
yes.
You on active duty?
I was on active duty. I was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington.
Okay.
Yes.
For the time of what time, could I ask?
2003 or 2002.
I left there in July of 2005, so I would imagine.
You were there in 2003, in other
yes.
Words.
Okay. Yes.
How were you receiving your mail for other reasons?
I have a caretaker at the home. I'll get that. Thank you. I have a caretaker at my home who goes by every now and then and checks out the mail. And when I'm here, I do the same and actually come in and out as much as I can because I can fly into MacDill free of charge.
So let me understand. You said now that you have a caretaker who checks the mail.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Should we be led to believe that the caretaker never notified you of these postings on
you
the
You can believe
the
that, and I do not have
millions.
That same caretaker anymore.
Okay.
We would have to, again, the board would have to understand we're talking about this violation, the code board secretary's violations, the notices of the hearings, notices
right.
of how everything was. And all these notices, we had a caretaker there that didn't catch any of this.
Right.
And that person is the most irresponsible person I've ever met, but I didn't know that until now.
Again, based upon what she said, that she had active military duty at the time, the city is willing to do some reduction here. But several points that were made here, forwarding address, caretaker, there's some definitely some liability on her part of this.
Right.
I could not have a forwarding address because according to the military, I have to have a home of residence, and that was my home of residence. So there was no reason for my mail to be sent to me anywhere. If I got mail at home, I thought I was going to be properly notified.
Okay.
I got the letter stating that I should be at this hearing at my change of address.
Mark, what's your recommendation?
Under the circumstances, as she said, she's been in the military, away, the city would request 10% of this.
I'd just like to correct one thing. At 24 years of military service, personally, you have to have a home of record, but you certainly can have a forwarding address. The home of record is a home of record, not the home of where you receive your mail. So you can leave a forwarding address with the post office department, and they will forward your mail from your home of record to your active duty station.
And that's true. I chose not to do that because okay. I'm at home.
I just wanted to clarify because you made that point.
Yes, the home of record is always that address, and because it was a business affair, I assumed that everything would go there, and the IRS particularly likes that.
And the city, again, would like to clarify. There's no discrepancies here. This is a clear-cut case, and I think you have to agree. Everything was followed and done. There was a lack of, on her part, of having somebody qualified there. She said a person not doing their job didn't notify, and a lack of address.
Mark, is your recommendation $220?
That'd be fine, sir.
Actually, the total amount due with interest, accrued interest, is $3,126.
So $310,
I guess.
Yes.
$312.
$312.
$0.63.
Is there an appeal process?
This is it.
This is it?
Okay. I'd like to add that the paint and the fence repair was in compliance on the fourth day of April of that same year, and I would like to request that the board waiver the fair, since it was paint and a board missing in my fence. There was no harm done.
Please understand, Ms. Allen, that the property is not in compliance until you have a reinspection of the property by one of our inspectors, and then he or she will determine if the property is now in compliance.
Apparently, there was a reinspection done.
That's what she's basing it on.
Yes.
Affidavit of compliance.
Yeah. And like I said, when I come home and I see work needs to be done on my property and I'm a homeowner, I don't need a fine to cause me to do the work, so I did it. But I had no clue that I needed to do it.
How many days do you believe it took Ms. Allen to come into compliance? We have on record 22 days of $100 per day plus accrued interest.
Okay. I'm saying that I don't remember exactly when, but this says January. I'm usually here around Christmas time. I'm certainly here, as you see now, around tax time. And I don't remember the dates, but I could go back and find records because I would have made purchases at Home Depot.
Well, the inspector has recommended a reduction to the amount of 10% of the accrued interest and the lien amount, which would make your payment or obligation reduced to the amount of $312.63.
And I'm asking because the inspector has also given me another notice I found from 2007 to waive this one so I can address the other one. I just don't have
it.
Well,
we could not address that at this time.
Okay. I'm not capable of doing it right now.
How long do you think it would take you to?
Considering I'm changing my address and I'm moving back to Florida and moving from New York, they said it's about $10,000 and I have to pay part of it. I don't know when, and I would.
2 months, 3 months?
6 months?
You can't come up with $300 in less than 6 months.
I could come up with it, but my aunt died in Tampa, and I'm moving into that house now, and I'm trying to get it in order. And I do. I'm in hardship. I'm sorry. I am in hardship, and I do not have the money at this time. And also, as I said, the inspector has imposed another fine that I found out about from 2007. So I need to be ready to try.
Plan on selling this house when you leave?
Pardon? No.
You're going to keep it?
Yes. I may return to Bethune-Cookman. I'm not sure. I was teaching there before I left in 87.
We could suspend interest and just let this fine remain on the books so when she does get ready to dispose it, it's there. Suspend the interest so it doesn't increase. And the fine would remain at that $3,126 without accruing further interest. And then any time changes ownership, that would be due to the city. That way she wouldn't have to come up with any money right now, but it wouldn't relieve the responsibility.
Mm-mm. Do I need an attorney? Because I don't know.
Your question was?
No, do I need an attorney to? Because some of this I don't understand. I understood what he said. I don't understand the ramifications of it.
It would just, the fine would still stay against the property. You wouldn't have to pay it until the property was disposed of. If you changed ownership of the property, then at that time, in order to get clear title, you would have to pay the fine. This way you wouldn't have to come up with money now, but the fine would remain on your property until such time as the
and
title changed.
And that's $310?
No, $3,126.
Oh.
Well,
the fine is only $10.
Could I get it?
But I would suspend the interest so it doesn't increase.
Yeah, but she can come up with the money the next 9 days. It's all done.
So it's on, yeah.
Do you have a mortgage on the property?
Okay.
Oh. Do you have a mortgage on the property?
No. When I left here, I didn't have to, but I had to pay the mortgage off because we were not sure where we were going to be, and I didn't have anyone to really do anything for me at that time that I could trust with financial things. So I paid it off.
Okay.
Ms. Allen, is there anyone residing at the property?
There's no one residing at the property. On yesterday, I went by there, and there was a kid there with his dad, and I didn't say anything. The dad is the caretaker, and I didn't say anything, but I don't think they're living there. But I heard that they've seen cars parked in front of my driveway. But those are not the cars of the people. There are other people whose cars are in my driveway.
If, Mr. Chairman, with the $312.63, if we just leave it on there, as Dr. Bannerman is saying, with interest in 6 months or whatever, it will be probably double this.
Would you like to suspend the interest?
Well, can I speak to that?
Sure.
Well, if it's left with interest, I can answer that sometimes, but I won't double it. I mean, the interest would be $200 and something. So in a 6 month period, it won't be all that significant. And I'll leave it to finance people. But the, you know, we don't have a practice of doing that. And I fear if we're going to start suspending, which we talked about, we didn't actually start doing this last month on the cases that we're bringing in and letting them give all the time in the world, then there's no real incentive to resolve this outstanding lien until infinite. I mean, there's no reason to ever deal with it. And I think that it's only reasonable that money has value over time. Right. And a year from now, it's a different value. I'm not considering that value. Is what we're doing when we say without interest. So if we are going to reduce and we're going to give an unlimited amount of time, I just have a plea for saying allow the interest to accrue. It's on a much smaller amount. Now, I will also tell you that I know that the inspector speaks to the whole idea of extending the time as a whole. I believe he's not. He opposes that. But I could just speak to that number.
Understand. I think I stated that wrong. I meant the 3,012.
Okay.
Right. I meant the $3,126.31.
Right. And I think that, and I appreciate that, Ms. Thomas, because I thought that's probably what you were saying.
Yeah.
That
that's
we'll
what
be
saying.
Still be accruing a high interest on a smaller amount. And
right.
My thought would be if we're accruing interest, it's going to be on a reset amount, whatever that smaller amount is.
Okay.
And we've dealt with a lot of hardships, and quite honestly, I know for everyone it's hard to accrue money, but to accrue $300 over a 3 to 4 month period of time, I think that a reasonable effort can be made to try to do that. I'm not trying to judge Ms. Allen, I don't know anything about her circumstance, but to ask her to accrue a few hundred dollars over a few months period of time doesn't sound all that unreasonable.
A few months? $100.
$100.
Oh, I thought you said a few hundred dollars.
Before Mark applies, Ms. Allen, you understand, what we would like to do is offer you an opportunity to pay this in 3 months. $300 in 3 months.
I heard that, and I said, I will pay the money, but it would put me in a hardship. That's not a problem. I can go borrow some money. I have good credit. My problem is extending myself like that. That's all. But if that's what the board determines, then.
Ms. Allen, I don't know if I can do this or not, but I would advise you or not. I'd just like to say for the record, well, not before you actually take a loan, and I will look at the interest amount and compare it to what the interest amount on your loan might be in comparison to what the city's going to charge you, and I think there might be a difference. That's all I'll say about that. But Chair would entertain a motion reducing the respondent's lien amount to $312.63, payable within 90 days with accumulated interest.
And could you state that amount again, please?
If it does not pay within 90 days, it reverts back to the original amount.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion.
I had already.
Aim of the motion is we're going to reduce it to $312.63, payable within 90 days. If it's not paid within 90 days, we'll revert back to the original amount. And the interest continues to accrue.
And could I get an exact date that that's due, please? I will. Oh, thank you.
We have a motion by Mr. Barnes. Who was the second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Aye.
We have two noes.
Okay.
Mr. Jones? Aye. Motion carries.
So, okay, now what?
What we've done, Mrs. Allen, is we've allowed you 90 days to pay the amount of $312.63.
Yes.
If it's not paid within 90 days, the amount would revert back to the original amount of $3,126.31,
right,
and interest will continue to accrue at that point, on the $3,000.
And I will get this in writing?
You will, yes.
But it's commencing today, the 90 days?
Yes.
Or at the time I receive the letter?
Today.
Just today.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Case number one is CEB 0505215, Masonic Lodge. And Connie, will you be testifying? Ms. McMillan?
Yes.
Will you be testifying? Would you raise your hand and be sworn as well?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Do you tell
me about
the
rights
that you're going to hold
nothing
but
the
truth?
Yeah.
State your name, please.
My name is Michael Mitchell.
Michael, what's your last name?
Mitchell.
Mitchell.
I'm Connie McMillan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here for an imposition of a fine today, and I think we agreed at the last meeting that we were going to do something small because of the continued time lapse this has been going on. That is my recommendation, $25 if we want to, because of the time period and knowing that there's been some delays with things, and I'm sure Connie can speak on that when she gets here, but right now we wanted to get this off the board's agenda for the while and see what happens and how it progresses on through this this process that they're going through for these grants.
Talking about a one-time fine of $25?
Well, unfortunately, it's we're talking about $25 a day, but it would be the board's decision.
Michael, would you like to make any comments?
Mr. Chairman, you already know how I feel about the fine. At the last meeting, I said I would come and yield to whatever the board wanted to do, but I wasn't too comfortable with the order being fined because when I first originally started here, I made it clear from the day one that this was going to be a very long process, and I could not guarantee the board anything. Mrs. McMillan is here now, who writes our grant and who's working closely with us, and whatever the board decides to do, I'm going to come into compliance with that.
Okay. Morning, Connie. Would you like to make some comments as well?
Yes. I'd just like to remind the board that it took the city until 2009 to finally come up with the agreement for the match money for the grants. And so, you know, that was a process. And so without the match money, we couldn't go after grants. And with the city's money, at some point, we're hoping to be able to actually give that back, hopefully, if we can get the grant from the state and then ECHO. But, you know, you have to have match money before you can go after a grant.
What's the timeline for these grants that you're speaking of, especially from the state?
The state, the grant, the money is normally awarded around March, between March and May, after the session is, you know, after they meet. And the ECHO grant is normally given out sometime in January, February. By then, you know.
Have we missed the ECHO?
No, it's due in December.
Oh, I see.
Who is the owner of the property, the legal owner? Is it a 501c3 or is it a private individual?
It's the Masonic Lodge, a 501c3.
So they would qualify for ECHO?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mark, the building is secured to city standards, correct?
I've gone by there as recently as this morning, and it's still secure.
I've gone by there. It's been painted. It's a new roof. It's not an eyesore. We've got lots of properties in the city that are far worse, that are not accumulating the fine. They're just city standards, and they're just sitting there. And though I would object to any fine over $1 a day to these people.
Board's decision. I'm not going to object. And Michael knows how I feel. It's just that we got to get a conclusion. This has been going on for six plus years.
And I think I'm
getting calls from, as you know, we've had testimony from at least one gentleman, and now I'm getting calls from the News Journal. You know.
I recommend a fine of $1 a day. $1 a day.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
What? Why bother?
Well, we got to get it off the books. It's either that or dismiss the case, and I don't.
All right.
And the only way to get it off, so he doesn't have to keep coming back here, is to oppose a fine, and then it goes away for us.
Okay.
For lien review later.
Yeah.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Would you audibly state your agreement to that?
Who
said yes?
I said yes.
Yes.
Dr. Bannerman, Mr. Harrington,
yes.
All those opposed say no?
No.
No.
Have a roll call vote.
Roll call.
Ms. Brown?
No.
Ms. Hines?
No.
Mr. Bourne?
Give you a conditional yes. If Michael appears here any more often, I think we ought to make him an honorary member of the board.
Dr. Bannerman?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
No.
Mr. Stevens?
No.
No?
Yes.
So now
Mr. Chair, it's 4-3.
The city would look to the board to see what action you would like taken on the case at this particular time. The city has spoken on what we feel. But
what about if we had a prior support or hearing from Coastline in 3 months or 6 months down the road? This brings us back to the status.
Can I ask this, Mr. Coastline? Having Mr. McMillan here, you mentioned that the matching money circumstance didn't really
occur until 2009.
Right, coming together until 2009. What happened between, as far as acquiring funds between this two, I guess it's 2000.
Okay, initially when we first started this, you know, we tenanted the building for termite damage because that was a major problem. The roof has been put on. The stairs have been taken down. Was the building painted? So there have been things done within the six-year period. The major renovations take, of course, major money. And we didn't get the match until 2009. So, you know, securing the stabilizing the floor and doing everything else could not be done. They were working with, you know, $30,000 here, $15,000 here. They did what they could do. But now for the major renovations, we needed the $150,000 match.
And just clarification, that whole time it's been a 501c3,
yes.
Not-for-profit corporation,
yes.
Depending on its funding from donors or grants or whatever.
Correct.
Connie, my question is regarding the ECHO grant. Have we missed the opportunity for this year, and do we have to wait until December in order to apply?
What happened? We missed it last year, not the time to apply, but ECHO requires that you attend a mandatory grant meeting
right. In
August. That was missed.
Oh, I see.
Connie, are you aware that there are some serious implications for ECHO funding, and they may be drastically reducing the amount available?
I am not aware of that. All we can do is go after the funding sources. Whether they give us $10,000 or $0, you still have to apply.
Yeah.
That's the best we can do.
Were you notified of the meeting that was supposed to take place for the ECHO grant?
No. What was going on last year was that we were still waiting to find out if they had the match or not. It's futile to go after a grant when you don't have the match money in your hand. So we were waiting for a whole lot of things to settle out.
Next question is, are you all seeking any other funding sources besides ECHO and maybe whichever grant you're pursuing with the state?
Historic preservation?
Yes. And beyond that, perhaps?
Once again, there may be a federal challenge grant that we can match, but there's not a lot of money for bricks and mortar out there. There really isn't. Now, if you all find some, just let Michael know.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion fining the respondent $10 per day effective April 8th, 2010 until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion fails.
I'd make a motion that we amend our previous order allowing the respondent to until July 1st to come into compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 a day.
July 9th of this year?
July. All that does is give you another 3 months, and then we look at it in 3 months. I realize Mark wants to get it off the books, but...
Nothing's going to... Oh, I'm sorry.
We can give you a long... Guess we can give them longer.
Question, is there going to be another grant meeting this coming August?
You cannot apply for the grant
until August.
No, you can't apply for the grant until December. The mandatory meeting in August is just for training purposes. There's nothing that's going to take place until December.
But I believe you indicated you had to attend that grant
right.
in order to.
Right. That's going to take place.
Okay. Then I'd like to change that motion. I was going to make that require you to come into compliance by August. So you can come back with a progress report and tell us that you've been to that meeting or plan to go to that meeting.
You mean September?
It would be September.
September, okay.
Yeah, make it to September.
Okay. Amend our previous order requiring the respondent to come into compliance by September 1st or return to the board for consideration of $5,000 a day.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and second. Is there any discussion by members of the board?
Mr. Chair, I know there's a motion on the floor. I just have a question. Are we in a position where we have to impose a fine since the building is secure up to city standards?
It's up really at the discretion of the board, members of the board. The inspector is recommending that we impose a fine.
Okay.
But it's at the sole discretion of the board.
Ultimately, we have to either has to be repaired or we impose a fine. That doesn't mean it, once it's secured, that's fine, but the original discrepancy was that it wasn't repaired. The foundation of the building is bad, and that's got to be repaired ultimately, or we got to impose a fine. But we can keep giving them extensions by doing what I've just suggested until they get the money in order to do that.
Would it be fair for us just to ask them to come back in January?
If you would like to make that motion, Mr. Brown, you can.
Well, there's a motion on the floor.
Okay, I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
In lieu of yours, I withdraw mine.
Okay.
Well, we just want to be sure that they attend that grant meeting.
Right.
We can ask for a progress report in addition to
progress report in September.
If I may,
back in January, a progress report in September telling us that you came.
Right. Because if I may, Mr. Chairman, I told you that at the last meeting that was my intention. To make sure that every meeting that I'm supposed to be at, if I have to take up from the city, that I assure this board that I will be there. at the president of this organization, if nobody's going to be there, I'll be there. So whoever kind of tells me I need to be to come into compliance and to meet, I just I'm like some of you now. Either y'all put my name up there and just let me sit here because I'm really am tired of coming here but whatever I need to do, because that is my goal, is to get the building up. So whatever I need to do that, that is going to happen. I assure you of that because I don't want to come here no more and I want to boot back in my own building just as well if you want me in that building. But I really will wish we can do something because I came here from Orlando. As I told you, I'm in a state conference now that I need to get back to be fine, to be whatever. So I won't have to continue to come back in here. So whatever needs to happen, I hope we can do it today.
Okay, thank
you. Second, Mr. Brown's motion.
I just want to make sure, the first grant that you're applying for, when will that be awarded?
You mean the third grant?
Well, whatever. The grants we're waiting to get money for. I know we already got the city money.
There's one that will be submitted, I think, maybe November, between July and November.
And they'll award?
I don't have it in front of me. Nothing will be awarded until the upcoming year when everybody, the legislatures in Tallahassee meet at the beginning of the year, and that's when they dole out the money. And the beginning of the year for ECHO, they normally know. Sometime in January, they make their decisions.
Okay. So if we amend the motion, well, make the motion that they come into compliance by February 1st, 2011, with an update for this board in September of this year.
That would be our September 9th meeting.
Right. Come into compliance by February 1st of 2011 with an update for us in September.
Okay. Is that your motion, Mr. Broom?
That's my motion.
Dr. Bannerman, I second the motion. Are there any additional comments? We have a motion and a second. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board?
Just a clarification on the record. When he says an update, I'm sure you have a
progress report. Progress report. Yeah. That legal terminology.
Lodge should take out a life insurance policy on you.
Yeah, that would pay for the building.
That would pay for the building. We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, Michael, we're allowing you to come to our September 9, 2010 meeting with a progress report, and you are to come into compliance by February 2011.
Or be returned. I just want to make sure that I understand that we're compliant by 2011.
Everything should be done by 2011.
When you say things should be done, I just need to make sure it's on record with me. You're not saying that the building has to be done by 2011.
Mark, but that's just
February, you'll know.
I want to make sure I understand the terminology. Go ahead.
Right. By February, you'll know if you're getting the money.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Okay. That's but the building will have to be done by then.
If you're getting the money, we know the building's going to
okay,
be done.
Okay. That's all I want to make sure that. That's on the record that I don't want to come here and get fined because the building is not complete, but hopefully by then we'll have the money.
Like,
thank you.
Come back for another one.
All right. We voted. This is a clarification.
Yes.
Suggestion for my and this is really just a suggestion to the board because obviously I'm at the top. I would think though that if this is the meeting and you're not getting funding, then there may be a whole different perspective in the way the board looks at where you're going from here. So it's kind of crucial that you make the September report saying we made it to our meeting, and then the hope is that you have money coming in February. They can't control it, you can't control it, but I think it starts affecting the way that everyone starts looking from the future.
Of course, part of that motion, Michael, is that the building remain secure to city standards and unoccupied in that time.
I assure the board that will maintain that. We got one of our buildings.
Done a good job maintaining.
That's
cut the grass. The building's painted. It looks good.
Right. We make sure that stays up together.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you all.
Mike.
I'd like to acknowledge City Commissioner Sheila McKay Vaughn. Good morning. Moving forward, we have disposed of case number two. Case number three, CEB 1209215, is in compliance as of 3/17/2010. Case number four, CEB 1209224, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Is the respondent here? Do we have to vote on it or just allow them to come up? We have a respondent here for case number 26, which is in compliance as of 3/29/10, but they're requesting to be heard. Would that be the pleasure of the board to allow the respondent to come up and be heard?
Are they in compliance?
What case?
case number 26.
26.
That's 26? What it is, Mark. Yes.
It says compliance.
Doreen Cameron.
She wants to say something.
It's not 26. It's 25. City's not prepared for this case. It was in compliance.
It is in compliance.
Oh, it's 25?
Is it 25?
It's already in compliance.
108 Bay Street. My name is Janet Hyland.
Which one?
26. It is 26.
Yeah. It's in compliance.
In compliance.
Yes. I know I'm in compliance, sir, but I'd like to be heard.
This is not a judicial hearing. It's not a
I understand that, sir, but I need the questions answered. Okay? First off...
Wait. This is in control here. City objects that this is not the venue for questioning the code.
I have a complaint against the inspector.
You would
I
have
would
to
like
file
to
that. And
this is not the venue for that.
Right. This is not.
You are kidding.
Cameron.
Me.
No. You can't file it through this board.
Okay, now I
You'll
need
have to file that
now,
through the
you
city.
You have to have a permit.
The board has not allowed you to speak, so you can't speak as of yet. Does the board wish to hear, Ms. Cameron?
My name is not Cameron.
What is your last name?
My name is Hyland. I am the
Hyland
provider of the business in that building.
Isn't there a period after we get all through where we can ask for citizens' comments?
No, you don't hear that time.
I don't either.
I was cited without having a violation out there.
Okay, that's something you can address through the city, Ms. Hyland, but this is not the venue for it.
This is a quasi-judicial board. It's not a regular board like any other kind of board. If you have a complaint, you bring it up to the city. If you have a question, which is just penalties, we don't give legal advice here.
I don't need legal advice, sir.
But again, this is not...
Why am I, as an American citizen here,
this is
not allowed to speak?
This
even
Ms.
though
Hyland, this,
I was fine.
This simply
okay,
isn't a venue
I was
for you
cited
to
here, sir. I was cited here.
Invoke a complaint against the
I was verbally and verbally
city.
Threatened and harassed
well, we
by another merchant
about that,
because
Ms. Hyland.
Of this.
This board cannot do anything about that. You'd have to file that through the city.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but you have to file it through the city. Case number 4, CEB 0209224, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated, is responding here. It's Michael's
I think
case.
I believe the inspector has committed an engagement and will be along shortly. Maybe we can move Mr. Fitzgerald's cases.
Okay. Mr. Fish is still here.
Yes.
Robert,
he's standing outside, if I'm not mistaken.
We'll continue
yeah.
case number,
he's number 5.
Robert is.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
I'm required by Mr. Jones that we take the people here first.
Okay.
Can we take the people that are here first? They don't have to wait all morning.
Sure. We can do that.
You can just have somebody up there to get them, like we used to.
Well,
do.
They can.
Is Robert on his way? Let's hear Mr. Kish's case, and then we can take those persons that are present, if that's okay with the board, since we've called him. Yes. Case number 5. Case number 5, CEB 0110111. Seagrave Properties, LLC. 403 Dr. Murray McLeod Bethune Boulevard.
403 was in compliance, 4610, and there was a picture, but it's not there.
Case number 5, you say is in compliance?
Correct, 4610.
April 6, 2010.
And what was the other case that you have, Robert? Is that 17?
17, I think.
17 was...
we will...
16 also.
16 is in compliance, 4710. That would be 1429 Edgewater Road.
Case number 17, CEB 041063, Keating. What was the compliance date, Robert? Case 17.
Case 17 is not in compliance.
Which one is in compliance?
16.
16 was in compliance.
Okay.
4710.
Just for the record, case number 16, CEB 041062, is in compliance as of April 4, 2010. I guess we're going to wait for 17.
He's right here.
No, 17's here.
Which case?
17.
17. Okay, come on up, Mr. Keith.
You said 16 was in compliance?
Yes.
Correct.
Number 5.
It was in compliance 4710.
What about case number 5?
Good morning.
In compliance. Case 5 is in compliance.
4-6.
4-6.
4-6-10.
Case number 17, CEB041063, Christopher P. Keating. Good morning, Mr. Keating.
Good morning.
Would you raise your right hand and be sworn?
So help me God.
Christopher Keating.
Okay. Robert, what can you tell us about this?
There was a junk vehicle, which was that four-wheel drive looking pickup, and it was on blocks, and I think maybe the tires were flat, had no bag, and the lights were broken out. And that was back in the end of January. And, you know, he was unable to get rid of it for a long time, and now it's gone, but he's got another junk vehicle, which is a truck that seems to run, because I've seen it come and go. But it has no tag, or the tag's expired, rather, so it's a junk vehicle.
So is the original case in compliance?
So there's no compliance because he was cited for junk vehicles, and he still has it.
Right, okay. Mr. Keating, what would you like to share with us?
I'm not making the money I would like to right now, so my white vehicle, it's a 2006 Chevy, is not registered or insured. Trying to get money to get that done. I finally got the mud truck out of there, but now it's just this vehicle that I'm trying to get money for insurance and registration.
Okay, so you are stating for the record that that vehicle is not currently registered?
It is not currently registered.
Do you agree then that the violation existed at the time of notice?
I did not know he was. I thought he was talking about junk vehicle, and I didn't see that as a junk vehicle.
But do you agree that that vehicle is not currently licensed, and it is considered by city code as a junk vehicle? Chair would entertain a motion found in responding to noncompliance.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that technically we're on solid ground here. The violation was a junk vehicle. That junk vehicle has been removed. I think this is a new violation.
That's sort of a question.
He's in compliance.
But withdraw the motion so we can get the question.
Hold on, Mr. Keating.
I'll withdraw the motion.
That's one of the reasons I asked my question. When I heard that it was a different vehicle, I wanted some clarification as well. Mr. Kish responded by saying that he cited him for junk vehicles, which I don't know if that's a blanket violation.
He's in compliance right now. The case is being dismissed. The case. The problem is bringing another junk vehicle on forced into a repeat violation situation. So he's trading on very, very weak ground right now.
Mr. Steele, I disagree. If I'm understanding correctly, and I may be not understanding it correctly, but if I'm understanding it correctly, the testimony, I thought the testimony was that there were two vehicles there.
There's just one.
No. I mean,
there were two vehicles there. He thought he only needed to remove the one that he understood to be junk. But the other one is junk as well, for meets the definition because it didn't have a tag. But there were two vehicles there when he was cited to be removed. He removed one, kept one, and the one that remains is still
is that true? Definition. Were the two vehicles there?
Yeah.
You're right, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, we,
and there was one that he whispered and didn't want to get back.
One check. Right.
Can you put them in the garage? That would solve your problem.
Can I put a car cover over it or something until
No, it will work.
Chair would entertain a motion finding responding to noncompliance.
So moved.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
No, sir.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Again, for clarification for the board, there were two vehicles at the time of the original notice. One was removed by the respondent, and the other vehicle still remains.
In other words, vehicle was the second one.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a junk vehicle.
But physically, that was the
junk. Okay.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. That's just something administrative we need to do, Mr. Keating. Do you have any other testimony?
Do I just need to move it off the property until
How
I get it?
How long will it take you to get it registered, insured?
I'm hoping as soon as possible. I'm not making...
Give me a date.
A month.
It's
So if we give you 2 months to come into compliance, would you be pretty sure you'd have it registered and everything by
Absolutely.
Then?
Absolutely.
By June 2nd.
Okay. Absolutely.
Make a motion requiring the respondent to come into compliance by June 2nd and be returned to the board for consideration. $5,000 a day.
We have a motion and a seconder. Are there any questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all of them in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. What we've done, Mr. Keating, is allowed you until June 2nd to come into compliance. Mm-hmm. If you're not in compliance by June 2nd, according to Mr. Kish or another inspector who has to be called out to verify that you do have the vehicle registered, we will return you to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. It's not to say that it will be $1,000 a day, but we have the right to fine you up to $1,000 per day.
That's either registered or removed.
Right.
Okay.
If you can't get it registered,
I have to drive it, so I'll
get it somewhere else.
Okay.
Go to the garage.
Yeah, my garage is full. But yeah, I'll have it. I'll comply.
You're surprised.
And you got to call him and have him come and look at it.
I have the number.
Just taking it off doesn't satisfy it. He's got to say so.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Are there any other respondents who are present who'd like to comment? What would the board like to do regarding the lien review number one? So Mr. Kish can leave if he needs to.
Respondent not present.
Well, last time we gave him the opportunity, but was it without prejudice?
Right. You know the same thing?
No.
We'll do with prejudice.
With prejudice.
Is Natalie James here?
No.
We'll just deny the lien review. They've had two chances.
Yeah. Until they bite to the apple.
I guess it may be useful, and I don't think it's really required or unnecessary, but just make inquiry of the board secretary as to what not you had any communication from.
I have. The reason why the request form wasn't in your package is because I was calling her and calling her, and she came Monday or Tuesday of this week and turned in her package, the request form. And she knew what time I told her exactly what day and the time. She said she would set her alarm and make sure she was here. And I'm surprised she's not.
Okay.
She had an hour.
Mr. Jackson, Mr. Cino, if we, of course, deny the lien review now, any action on it, would we prejudice ourselves and which would not allow her to come back for them?
Well, we could deny with prejudice, without prejudice, and then allow her to come back.
Can we set a limitation on that?
If she asks again.
Yes.
Well, there may be a good reason. I mean, we don't know.
Why can't it be denied without prejudice?
Yes,
I mean, with prejudice.
We could.
We can. Ms. Barnes, would you like to make a motion?
So moved.
What does that mean with prejudice?
She can't come back.
Exactly. She can't come back.
She can't come back. Okay.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Barnes. Would you clarify your motion, Mr. Barnes?
Yep. I'm moving that we deny her petition for lien review. Period. The lien stays until it's paid.
How's that?
I don't think we should take up more time with the board.
Okay. And just for the record, let me read the case into the record. It's CEB 020842, 1300 3rd Street. Natalie James is the respondent. And that, again, is lien review number one. We have a motion by Mr. Barnes, second by Mr. Jones. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
If, Mr. Chair, I just... if there are dire circumstances, the reason she's not here, are we handicapping ourselves in not being able to hear the case?
No, what you would have to do is you'd have a motion to reconsider previously. You could still go ahead and make a motion to reconsider. Anybody who's on the affirmative side. She comes back to the next meeting with the motion to reconsider the decision not to hear the case. From the affirmative side, like Mr. Barnes can make that motion. If it's passed, then it would be considered. If it's not passed, it's out of luck.
Okay. Okay.
Jackson.
If I can, before you, I don't know if you've already made a motion.
No.
I guess there is another alternative, and one that you can consider, and that's possibly hearing it in her absence, at least hear the position of the city and the testimony of the inspector
and see if that's something you want to consider. But that's clearly 100% up to you. And I agree 100% on the thought that denying with prejudice and allowing, understanding that this is anyone else who can seek a reconsideration of that motion is appropriate.
But well, that I think that's a wise suggestion.
What, to hear it in her absence?
I said to
them. I think to give more strength to the decision not to allow her to reapply.
Okay.
I think we should hear this petition.
So we would have to withdraw the motion?
No.
No?
Okay. It's pending.
Okay.
Mr. Kish?
The property had a... Okay, just to update on what happened in the original case. The owner was had some maintenance issues, and he made some small attempts to correct them, and then he gave up, and then we put the lien on the property while he still owned it, and then he was either foreclosed or just abandoned it. And then some realtors moved in, they fixed the property up, and now this is the third person to take over the property. And so we were just suggesting that maybe some kind of reduction on the lien.
Robert, was the first respondent Stephen Groden?
That's correct.
And then the next one was David Spirin? Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm afraid to say, but yeah.
What's the part that?
Yeah.
What's missing in this whole
right.
story?
Right. Yeah, you don't. And we actually reduced the fine to $2,500 for Mr. Spirin,
right,
who said he would pay it, and he subsequently sold the property apparently to Ms. James,
knowing that he had a 25
yes.
with the lien.
With the lien, yes.
So Mr. James bought it with the lien.
Spirin. Yes.
To Spirin. Oh, I see.
All opportunities.
Okay.
The person bought it with knowing that there was a lien.
Spirin apparently sold it to a realty company, Amy?
Greenway,
another entity, I should say. And then that entity sold the property to Ms. James.
With knowledge that there's a $2,500
yes.
fine on
yeah.
And initially, if I may, initially when this was considered for, when the request was made for a reduction of the lien, this current request, it initially came from Mr. Sparing, who ultimately we told that he had already had his two bites of the apple, and that it was, and then we discovered he was no longer the owner, and he told us he was doing it on Ms.
James'
behalf, and ultimately Ms. James was the one that became the applicant. So I don't, I guess there's a little bit more on this than I recalled before I started speaking.
Mr. Chair, would it be fair to give Ms. James the opportunity to pay the $2,500 that we reduced it to?
No, we can go ahead and make a motion to reduce the fine down.
Right. Since if that's what we entertained before, to give her the opportunity, give her 60 or 90 days to pay it, if not, this just goes back.
Sure.
Because it's just been prolonging. And
if you'd like to make that motion.
The 25 was not to her. The 25
right.
was to Spearing that accepted to pay it.
Right, but it's her burden now.
Right. Who had the original motion?
Mr. Borns.
Mr. Borns.
You want to amend the motion? Go right ahead, sir.
Well, no, you
well, would you like
motion.
To withdraw your motion
right.
or amend it?
I withdraw the motion. Oh. The second is withdrawn. Let's just start
Mr. Jones. Would you like to withdraw your second?
Okay.
You have a question?
Mr. Chair, if we send, our secretary send a letter to Ms. James stating that if she does not appear, this will be her fine, or something like that, I would just like to. Because I'm thinking she, as I did once years ago, think that she's not, this is really not hers. And this is what she's saying in here. And sometimes it's hard for people to believe that when you buy something, if you don't do a title search yourself, being the purchaser, you can really get into some problems. And I've been there, so this is why I'm saying I'm sure she feels that it's not, as she's saying, in here she wants her name.
Well, I think the record reflects that the lien was placed on the property prior to her ownership, or prior to the time that she took ownership. And once she took ownership, she took ownership of the lien as well.
From what I read on this request that she's got here, she apparently bought this piece of property that had a lien on it. She already owned a homestead piece of property. And according to the law, if one piece of property has a lien, all her properties have a lien. So she, when she acquired this property that already had a lien on it, that automatically put a lien on her homestead property, and now she wants relief from the lien on her homestead property. She's not looking for relief on the other property.
Which is the property that we're discussing. That is the same property.
It is the same property?
Which brings us back to the issue. We're dealing with the piece of property with the applicant studying here. We need to just deny it with prejudice, without prejudice. Give an opportunity to come back here. Let's hear what she's got to say.
Yeah.
All right.
I think maybe it's we're out there to do a bad president by letting people, you know, come up without being here. Maybe they need to be here.
Is there a limit on that? I mean,
well, we have a motion. Mr. Brown has the motion, but I would like to suggest we allow one more opportunity. And if she does not show up for the next meeting, if that's the date that you would like to make the motion.
I mean, that would be the third time.
Yes, third time, maybe the charm. Or, you know,
third strike and she's out.
And she's had three opportunities at that point. If you would like to make a motion to that effect, I mean, I would.
Amend my motion.
To without prejudice?
Right, that'll do it.
Prejudice. Yeah, and then I think.
Mr. Jones has withdrawn his second.
He's amending his motion without prejudice.
Mr. Boynes withdrew his motion. Mr. Jones withdrew his second. Mr. Brown, are you making a motion?
The new motion is to do it without prejudice.
Right, correct.
Deny the lien review without prejudice.
Okay. So
she come
back.
Are we going to allow her one more opportunity?
Right, allowing her one more opportunity before we, you know, settle the case itself.
Okay. Now, if I can just, y'all are really saying two different things, and I don't know if you intended to which one you're really intending. If you deny her without prejudice, then it's not going to be calendared, contacted, held. It's over with, unless she comes and does a fresh application.
Yeah.
If you're saying that you want her to come back a third time, and I don't know if that meant you want to keep it on the docket, continue it to the next month and see if she shows, or if you're saying we're done with this unless she shows up.
That's the
question.
What I'm suggesting is, and this is just my opinion, as an individual, I would like to allow Ms. James one more opportunity to show up for a lien review, that being our May 13th, 2010 meeting. If Mrs. James doesn't show up at that meeting to testify, I would suggest that we make a motion with prejudice denying her any further opportunities to bring this case forward. That would be my suggestion. But you
would it be safe for us just to table this till the next meeting?
Continue
it till the next meeting, and then at that meeting we can make the motions to do it with prejudice. Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we table this case until our May meeting.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion by any member of the board?
Is the motion still there about the Mr. Warren's motion that was seconded by Mr. Jones? Has that been taken back?
That was withdrawn.
He withdrew it.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign.
The
May 13th.
Yes. She's been notified.
And I'll put in the cover letters with her, just telling her that.
Be here or die.
Robert, we're only going to allow her one more opportunity, or at least to come forward at the May 13th meeting.
What is the present status? It's $2,500?
No.
No.
It has reverted to the original amount.
He didn't pay that $2,500. He goes back to the original.
$2,500.
The $2,500 paid within so many days, he didn't pay it and reverted.
Now, I guess I'll have to recount. Am I using the same?
Yep.
Do you want to update the...
My position is that it's still live active running.
Still active,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're coming in with new numbers.
Okay. Maybe she'll sell the house by the next
week. Well, the lien is still there. So she'll have to pay the city before she can.
Maybe.
Are there any members of the audience who would like to come forward? We can take your cases. Because you're here, we would like to go ahead and take care of you all. When you come forward, please raise your right hand, state your name, and tell us which case you're here for. Hi, Barbara.
Number nine.
Case number nine, CEB 021033, Marsha C. Johnson Harpo. 121 Jubilee Street. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, could you state your name for the record?
Marsha Harpo.
You can move that over.
Okay.
What can you tell us about?
It's still in non-compliance. I would like to amend it to the June cutoff. This particular case at 121 Jubilee, she had an approval several years ago. I don't know the exact date of it.
07.
She did not realize she needed a permit with the city, and she had put in the fence. Management has changed several times out of the LPGA. They've lost her previous records, and now they're seeing if she can be grandfathered in because they want her fence to be a different color than what it was approved years ago. So I would like to amend it. They are trying to work through it and see if she's grandfathered in and give her the June cutoff.
What color do they want?
Well, I've got their approval from the subdivision. I need their approval from the management group. Now they're thinking about black or a wrought iron. And it's only three pieces, as you can see. It's not the fence and yard.
It's white.
Yeah.
That's pretty stupid.
Yeah. And I do have the approval from the subdivision. All five people have to sign it.
Excuse me.
But now it's the management group in Orlando, I guess.
Ms. Hoffel, do you feel that's a fair amount of time for you to come into compliance? That would be May 5th, Barbara?
June cutoff.
June 2nd, 2010.
Yes, I did go downstairs also, try to get the permit with just the subdivision thing, and they said no.
Chair will entertain a motion allowing respondent until June 2nd, 2010 to come to compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne's. Are there any questions and comments, my members?
Does that give you enough time, June 2nd?
We hope.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want you to have to come back here arbitrarily if you need more for this silly thing.
Well, she could always contact Barbara.
She has been in constant touch with me. I will, vouch for that. So if we do have a problem, and I am in contact with a member on the MARC committee, I can speak on her behalf. That would be fine. So she wouldn't have to miss.
I don't want to get to the point where we fine her over something like that.
Well, I understand. That's, we're trying to work through it.
Did someone make a complaint? Is that how it came
from? Actually, it came from the homeowners, I think, because they're saying she didn't have a permit. But
they've signed off on
management.
It.
Yes.
Well, but...
I did not realize. I got the president of the subdivision lives right across. She did that. She was supposed to send it in. And then I get the letter from the city saying I didn't have the right permits or no permit.
Be sure and be back here on June 10th if you don't have it resolved. You be back here and remind me of this.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
Ms. Hoffel. I know, because June...
Oh, sorry about that.
Can I bring something up? June might be a bad month. I do work in retail, So, like yesterday, I had to work 12-hour days to be here.
She'll tell us.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
As long as you keep in contact with Ms. Collins, you'll be in good shape.
She does.
Okay.
Thanks. we need to take a vote.
Oh.
The motion is to allow the respondent until June 2nd, 2010, to come into compliance, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Next, who's next?
Brian Seaman. It's number 19 on here.
19. Case number 19, CEB041065, Brian D. Seaman. Mr. Seaman, would you raise your right hand and be sworn?
Is everyone with the same case?
Yes. Right.
Okay. Will everyone be testifying?
Yes.
Will everyone be given
yes.
testimony?
Raise your hand.
Do
you solemnly
swear
the testimony about the
device,
the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, I will
need
to get everyone's name.
Brian Seaman.
Alba Fernandez.
Would you speak into the mic?
Alba Fernandez.
I'm sorry.
Alba Fernandez. F-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z.
I'm sorry, what was your first name?
A-L-B-A. Alba.
Sir?
Stan Anderson.
Just
step to my Stan Anderson. O-N.
Michael?
Yep. 608. Butler.
Yes.
The tenants called because it was extremely cold during the winter this winter, and they said it doesn't have heat as per the code calls for. The respondents sent back a letter saying that they don't offer it in their contract, so they don't need it. So is that pretty much it? It's not offered?
No, it's never been offered.
Would you step up to the mic?
Okay. I've been the property manager since 2006 and never really came across this problem. Usually tenants complain about AC, and we do provide them with AC. This tenant moved in September 25th. Everything seemed fine. She signed the lease. And then when the weather got cold, she started complaining about the cold. I told her that the house was built in 1924, that we had no way of getting heat, you know, like through the system or anything. And then she said, well, she only lived there Monday through Friday because she lives in Crescent City, but she had a job here at the dog track. So she said that her husband was going to buy her a heater, which he did. The next situation that happened was the circuits kept blowing because, you know, and I called the electrician. I had them come twice to make sure that the circuits would work and that she would be able to have heat. She had two heaters. Then I kept getting letters from her. She write them in Spanish. I have the letters here. I translated them, and she said that it was not working, that she was cold, and it was an exceptionally cold winter. I mean, really, I've been here since 1978, and it was really, really cold. I can agree with that. But the other tenants seemed to manage well, and then she proceeded. I have the letters here with more complaints that she couldn't take it, that she had to get out, and then she started saying other things that I know were not true. But anyway, finally, I wrote her a letter, and I said, if you find another place, I will gladly give you your deposit and let you out of your lease. She had a 7-month lease that I would release her from, which she did. But while that happened, she must have found a place, and then she called me up and she said she wanted her deposit and the remainder of the balance of the, you know, the rent that was until the 24th. And I told her, I can't refund you your rent. I can refund you your deposit. And
Fernandez.
Huh?
Hold on just a moment. Let me just ask either yourself or Mr. Seaman, do you all agree that the violations existed at the time of notice?
No.
Do you agree that there was no heating in the unit?
Yes, but I was under the impression, I mean, I've been...
One moment.
Go ahead.
Chair will entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance.
Move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There is a city code that says heat has to be supplied. Okay.
Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. That's something administrative we have to do, Mr. Fernandez. Michael, do you have any additional comments?
No, just the property is non-compliance at this time.
Mr. Seaman, Mr. Anderson, or Ms. Fernandez, when do you all think you can come into compliance?
I can't hear.
When do you think you can come in compliance?
When do you think he could get the heat in?
When can you get heat installed?
A new tenant.
Well, a new tenant doesn't solve it.
No, no tenant.
Or no tenant, no tenant. Yeah.
So
we either have to... I'm confused.
Would you step up to the mic?
Yeah.
I'm confused. So we either have to kick everybody out to come into compliance? Is that what you're saying?
You mean the tenants?
Or provide heat? Or put it in?
Yes, you have to provide heat or...
Excuse me. I don't mean to interrupt you. I did look into some things. I'm connected with Marriott, and they told me some different methods to use for it. And I did look into some things to make it work out. But I'm a little bit confused because the information I got, and the reason I came here, I got the information that you couldn't use reverse cycle heating. It had to be something wired in, and that. And I'm thinking, geez, almost every Marriott's heated with reverse cycle heating, well, including my house.
Mr. Seaman, I think you're comparing a motel to a residence, and I think there's a different standard or code for both of those that may apply. This is a residential dwelling versus a hotel. You're comparing your residential the residence to a hotel, which is not a residence.
So you're sure that you can't use reverse cycle heating?
I would not be. I can't. Yeah.
How would I find
that's
that
something
out?
You'd have to discuss with Ms. Collins would like to offer.
I would say that you go downstairs to Limits and Licensing and ask and get the requirements of what's allowed.
Because it's really the more sensible way to heat that type of area.
Yeah. So ask downstairs.
Permits and licensing.
But I have more than one option. But I did look up some things, and I found several different options.
When do you think you can bring the property into compliance?
I don't know how long it takes to do it. Or if that works, it would be a lot quicker than doing it.
Seven.
It's summer too, so.
It's a 1922 building, so there's a lot of problems with doing all the different kinds of things. And this is Daytona, and the rents in those areas are, the property's running in negative for 10 years. And it's like very difficult to try and make improvements on it. When we first purchased it in 2000, it was a crack house. We had to get everybody out of the building. It was rat infested, bug infested.
Mr. Anderson, we can appreciate that.
We've done quite a bit.
Mr. Anderson, we can appreciate that, but we need to know when can the property be brought into compliance.
Like I said, we could probably get it in.
Can we have a couple of months to do that?
By September.
You're certainly not going to need it.
It's not going to be needed until the fall. So
why not give it until September?
Well, it's not a matter of when they'll need it. It's a matter of bringing the property into compliance.
I just want, Mr. Chair, make the note that there are approved heaters. You just need to go downstairs to find out which heaters are approved to go into those units.
Yeah, I understand. I was just kind of surprised considering that one particular type of heating is very popular, and it's also more economical.
They need to bring it back next month because they can't find a way to resolve the problem. They need some time to relocate some of their people that are there before it gets cold. It would be a bad idea to bring this back next month.
Can we have it until September? Because the problem is...
There's something of a progress report of where you're going with this thing as opposed to, when September comes and you're going to turn around and say, what am I going to do with all these people? We don't want to get in a situation where the city has to relocate anybody.
Michael, what is your suggestion?
I have no problem with giving them more time, and a progress report would be great.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that to require the respondent
to see the whole house.
What's the unit size? How many people are we talking about?
Seven units.
They're different sizes.
I mean, not that. Okay, how many people do you have? That's
probably. Oh, families?
Yes.
Right now, there's five families living there, and they're happy living there. Okay. They want to move.
I'd like to make a motion that require the sponsor to come into compliance by September 1st. Or be returned to the board for consideration of fine up to $1,000 a day, and further, that they report to the board at our May meeting, which will be May 13th, and report their progress status at that time.
Second.
May 13th for the progress.
May 13th with the progress. You come back here and tell us what you're going to do.
Michael can do that.
Oh, okay. We do trade shows. Okay. So.
Yeah, we just report to him.
It's fine. Okay.
And then what was the date? September?
You have to come back and get to be in compliance by the 1st of September.
Not just yet. We have to vote on it. Okay. We have a motion by Dr. Bannerman, second by Ms. Hines. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. What we're requiring is a progress report that will be due. Either you can show up or you can provide it to the inspector for our May 13th, 2010 meeting. And we're allowing you until September 1st, 2010 to come into compliance.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. And if you run into any problems, please notify Mr. Fitzgerald.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I know it's his birthday.
It's my son's birthday. This is yours?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. I have your email already. So
okay.
We'll be in touch.
We'll be in touch. Thank you.
You're welcome.
First man.
Yeah, I know.
Hi. My name is Anthony Maroney. I'm with First Place Property Management.
Which case is it?
Yes, sir. First Place Property Management.
Which case? Case number.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's... there's number 21, 041066.
Okay. Case number 21 is case number CEB041066, Paul M. Potentis?
Yes, sir.
And your name again, would you raise your hand, state your name, and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear to testimony about the truth
and the whole truth
and
nothing but the truth? Yes, I do.
And
Anthony Maroney.
Barbara,
what's the relationship between you and Mr. Flint?
Property manager. We're the property managers.
You're the property.
Yes. Yes.
528 Fairmont, right?
Yes.
Is that Maroney?
Yes.
Would you spell your last name, Mr. Maroney?
Yes. M-O-R-R-O-N-E.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Non-compliance, next cutoff. I believe he's got the paperwork. He's going to file for the rental occupational license.
Okay. Yes.
Be in compliance by next month.
Would you like to make any comments, Mr. Maroney?
No, sir.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion to find and respond in non-compliance, or do we need to ask?
So moved.
Second.
And allow an respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time fee of $250. Who was the motion? Ms. Himes has the motion, and the second was Mr. Bourne's.
Thank you.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. You have until April 5th, 2010 to come
May 5th,
Mr. Maroney. To come into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time fee of $250.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
I have one more here, and this is case CEB 041064.
What is the case number?
That's today. Excuse me. Number 18.
Excuse me. Case number 18, CEB 041064, Shanta Soran. Marcel Ron. This is Michael's case. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm sorry. The case is non-compliant at this time. The roof is still leaking and still has the blue tarps on it. And for rent, sign up front.
When do you think you can bring the property into compliance, Mr. Maroney?
Next cutoff.
Can we get just a little bit more than 30 days? If that's possible. Yes, because finally, Mrs. Saran says she has enough money to get these quotes, which we have three or four quotes for her now. It's just a matter of getting the roofers to do the job and picking the right one, the one that she can afford, and getting it done. So I don't know if that could be done in 3 weeks, whenever the next cutoff is, maybe.
She also has an ability to get a grant from the city.
Oh.
It will help with beautifying the building, including the roof.
Wow. So
it's up to $5,000 matching grant.
Wow.
I would go up to redevelopment and talk with them.
Thank you.
Mr. Maroney, do you or your respondent agree, your client agree that the conditions existed at the time of notification?
Yes.
The chair would entertain a motion found in respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until June 2nd, 2010 to come into compliance.
So moved.
Or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Is there any discussion or questions?
June 2nd, give you enough time, Mr. Brown?
Yes, definitely. Thank you. Thank you.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? None, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Mr. Maroney, we've allowed you until June 2nd to come into compliance.
Okay, thank you very much now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Morning. Hey,
case number 14.
14.
Case 25 North Charles.
Okay. Case 14 is CEB 041060, Daytona Self Storage Incorporated, Clark Properties Corporation.
Good morning. Michael Sabak, C-A-B-A-K.
And Alex Dombey, D-O-M-B-I. D-O-M-B-I.
Are you both going
to
be
outside? Most likely.
Raise your hands, please. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you're about to provide
is
the truth, the whole
truth, and
nothing but the truth?
Yes. Danny,
good morning.
You tell us. Davidson Self Storage, not Clark Properties. Is that who you are?
Clark Properties.
You are Clark Properties.
Yeah, we are Clark Properties. All aboard storage.
What is your relationship to the respondent?
He is one of my tenants.
I mean, in terms of Daytona Self-Storage or Clark Properties Corporation, what is your relationship?
I am the Director of Operations for All Aboard Storage, and Alex is the Property Manager.
Okay, great. What can you tell us, Dan?
The property violation is actually 141, but it's attached to 145. Like you said, the tenants have opened a parts automotive business. The complaint was coming from the neighbors, the fire department. It had come previously about car spraying. He has now seized that. After talking with them today, the owner and the manager, they deciding that they may want to evict the tenant to come in compliance, allowing to next cut off to try and take care of that. They did have an inspection for the occupational license, but it had just failed. It was on the 5th. So they're deciding that that's what they want to do is maybe evict the tenant, and I'm allowed to next cut off to do that.
Gentlemen, do you all agree that the violations existed at the time of notice?
Yes.
Chair would entertain a motion. Well, let me ask you, would you be able to resolve the problems by our May 5th cut off date? How much time?
If not, we can always amend.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. If you're going to evict, do you think you would have enough time by May?
Yes.
Think so?
The tenant has not paid this month so far, and according to our lease, he has a self-storage contract. We can.
Chair would entertain a motion found in respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourne. Are there any questions and comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, gentlemen. You have until May 5th.
Okay, thank you.
If you run into a problem, please notify Mr. Garcia.
Okay.
You want my case number?
Yes.
Well, okay, it's number 11.
Number 11. Okay. Case number 11 is CEB 031045, John M. Cicero.
Yes.
Okay, that's 311 Fletcher Avenue.
Yes, sir. Okay, please? John Michael Cicero. I do.
I would like to actually amend this case and give until the next cutoff, May's cutoff. He has a contract. People are going to try and purchase it, but they have to get the financing and everything else. What he's going to go ahead and do is apply for a rental license, which he picked up today. Go ahead and have the inspection and come into compliance that way.
Chair would entertain a motion allowing him to respond. Did you want to make any comments, Mr. Cicero, beyond what Ms. Collins has said?
Yes, sir.
You're happy with that, May 5th?
Yes, sir.
Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until May 5th, 2010, to coming to compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bormans. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Cicero, we've allowed you until May 5th to come into compliance.
Sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there any additional respondents?
Yes. Come on up.
What's your case number?
36. Good morning. Chandra Serrano. S-E-R-R-A-N-O.
S-E-R-R.
I do.
Would you spell your last name again?
Serrano, S-E-R-R-A-N-O.
A-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
36. Yes. Case number 36 is CEB 041081. Chandra Serrano?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
What can you tell us about this one?
Good morning.
Yes, I had contact with this one at 1028 and talked to the property owner. I think it was your husband?
My husband.
Okay. Did the site inspection, re-inspection 1125, the green card, or the CEB1 was sent 1125, green card received 1211. And I did a re-inspection yesterday. The re-roof is in process. They had a permit. So my recommendation was to extend the next cutoff to work completed.
They're laying the shingles up this morning. It should be done by this afternoon. Serrano.
Yeah.
It's a name change. That was the name when I purchased the building 13 years ago. I've been remarried since then.
Well, in our motion, we'll also include the name change.
That's okay.
Chairman, well, Mrs. Serrano, do you agree that the violations existed at the time of notice?
That there was a tarp on the roof at the time?
Yes.
Yes, we were waiting for permitting and everything else.
And you do feel you would have everything done by this, well, prior to May 5th, 2010?
Considering what time it is, the roof's probably already done being shingled.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion filing a respondent in non-compliance and allowing a respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? And in addition to that, amending the respondent's name to reflect her name is Chandra Serrano, S-E-R-R-A-N-O. Is there such a motion?
I move.
Have a motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any comments or questions by members of the board?
I give you enough time. I give you enough time, May 5th, to come into compliance.
Yeah.
You need more time. You're sure of that now?
They're putting the shingles on the roof now. Everything should be done today, actually.
Don't want to put
May 5th.
Excuse me? Where's that page that I gave you?
Serrano.
Down there.
You have a missing door?
Okay, page.
Damage
porch. Some of the other things that are on here have been an ongoing issue. We had an older gentleman who ran his car through my yard and hit my house in the back. And there were a few things we've been waiting for insurance to send a check for to finish paying and correcting, so that's being taken care of.
All these things, you got the tarp on the roof, the missing door, accessory structure maintenance, outside storage, and damaged porch screens. All those will be taken care of by the 5th of May.
Have already been taken care of. Okay. They've already been taken care of. The roof is the final issue.
So you're comfortable with
yes.
it?
Yes.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. You're done. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good morning.
Anybody else?
Were you here for a case, sir?
Okay. He's a spy.
Sir. Spy from the planning board. It looks like number three.
Should it be four? Did we ever do four?
No.
No, we have four.
Four.
And case number four, CEB 1209224, GEAC Side Investments Incorporated.
Non-compliance at this time. The neighbor is in meaningful negotiation to purchase his property and has asked for 30 days to go into contract. At that time, he says if he buys it, he will be tearing it down. If not, it's still in that foreclosure at this time.
What is we're here for an imposition of a fine, Michael. What do you suggest?
Can we amend and give him more time?
Sure.
Okay.
Is it occupied?
It's not occupied. It's
is
boarded
it secured
up.
To city standards.
It is because it is.
Would you like to amend until April or June? Excuse me, the May or June date?
Amend until June.
Chair will entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until June 2nd, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number five has been disposed of. Case number six, CEB 021027. Is Mark around? It's number six, Mark.
Yeah, sorry, the news journal is asking me about the Masonic Lodge. Okay.
News.
Thanks a lot. this is the. Candace Grandstaff?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember, we weren't sure if she knew when she left what she had to do, and I spoke to her at length and told her. I've not heard a thing. She's not gotten in contact with me. No change. I drove by there about 2 days ago. It looks exactly, except for that fence that they took down, it's pretty much the same. If you recall, her permit's expired. She did. The builder has a lien against it for non-payment for what work he did do. So there's issues with this property. And I'm asking for an imposition of a fine of $100 a day until it's taken care of. It is an eyesore. It is the object of a complaint. And we have had complaints about the property. It was a police issue at one time. So it hasn't been here recently.
That chain link fence is not
left. It's down. It's down. While you have a permit, a building permit, it was good. But when that permit expired, that fence needed to come down.
Is it down?
It's down, sir.
You recommend a limit on the fine? $100 a day.
I would, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. The property has a very low value. I would cap it at $10,000. Recommend capping at $10,000 and $100 a day.
Chair would entertain a motion, finding the respondent noncompliance and imposing a fine of $100 per day effective today, April 8, 2010. And with a maximum amount of fine and accumulated interest up to $10,000.
So moved.
Second.
Should I do that? Got the interest? And the amount?
Tony?
The total amount of $10,000. At $10,000. Maximum amount should be $10,000.
You don't like that, Tony?
Tony don't like that. Maybe we'll have to talk about it later, but that's not my recommendation is right now. It has very low value for this property.
Oh, I got you.
Is there a motion on the floor?
Yes.
Yeah. Who made the motion?
I moved it. The second by Mr.
Who made the motion?
Somebody. I made it, I think.
Would you like to amend your motion, Mr. Brown, so that we will not cap the interest, or would you like to keep the motion as stated?
Let's cap it at $10,000.
Including interest. Including interest.
Inclusive.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Brown. Who was the second?
I'll second.
I don't know which was first.
Neil, go ahead.
Mr. Harrington has the second. Are there any questions or comments? Excuse me, by members of the board. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Number 12.
Excuse me, are you... Is that her, Ms. Himes? Do we need a vote?
That was your lien review that was here.
Okay. Ms. James, would you like to come forward just for a moment? Do we need a motion to hear the case now?
To reconsider.
Move to reconsider lien review number one, case CB020842.
I think Mr. Bourne has to do that, doesn't he?
No, I think that is right in the affirmative.
Yeah, we were all on the affirmative.
Stevens, the city would object to this lien review as the case was predisposed of, and we've given enough time, and the offer's not here.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, Trish's
name. Oh, Robert Stone. Mm-hmm.
What they did was they continued the case in the next meeting. The officer had a lien.
Okay.
Will you come back here for the next meeting?
Yes.
Promises?
Yes, I have a hernia disc in my neck, and I can't even hardly turn my head, and I was just having a hard time this morning, but yes.
With the understanding, Ms. James, that we've allowed you two opportunities to come in for your lien review, something, an action that you initiated, and you failed to show up for both of those. I believe the motion stated that she only has one more time to show up, otherwise we'll dispose of the case.
Okay. So that's context.
So you must show up.
At the beginning of the meeting.
At the May 13th meeting.
Okay.
And the meeting starts at 9 o'clock a.m.
Okay.
Promptly at 9.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thanks, Mark.
Well, I need to just go ahead and withdraw that motion, or it failed anyway.
Yeah, it fails in a second.
Okay, good deal. Number seven.
We've disposed of case number six. Case number seven, CEB021030, is in compliance as of 3/22/2010. Case number eight, CEB021032, is in compliance as of March 24, 2010. We have disposed of case number nine. Case number 10, CEB021035, is in compliance as of March 23, 2010. We've also disposed of case number 11. Case number 12, CEB031049, Daytona Ocean Sands, LLC. That's Steve's case.
Good morning, Chairman Stevens and members of the board. Interesting afternoon.
Tell us, Steve, about this
morning.
One.
Anyway, this one is in compliance as a 4-7, and I want to state, because of the interest that was put into it last week or last month, it has taken a coordinated effort between city, state, county, fire, and us to get this done. It started July of last year. Okay. And at this point, it is in compliance.
And that was 4-7.
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
It will be taking maintenance, but at least it's been here. Thank you.
Steve, do you have any other cases?
Yes, sir.
Which ones?
I have a few of them. I think I'm down now to two more that are need to be addressed.
Okay. Going down to case number 32, just for the record, case number 32, CEB041077, is in compliance of the March 30th, 2010. Case number 33, CEB041078, Tommy Cooper and Kelly E. Schofield.
Compliance 329.
And case number 34, CEB041079, Ramonas, I guess, Georges or Hogus, LLC, 619 Grandview, 34.
This case is in partial compliance. They have a permit pulled for one. It's under review. But for the record, I needed to make an address adjustment at 631. This is three adjoining structures. They had punched a wall between one and another. Pardon?
34.
34 is a barbed wire. Barbed wire on the gate.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That one is in compliance.
It is or it's not?
It is in compliance, yes.
What was the date, Steve? 34?
What's the date? March 29th.
Okay. Case number 35, CEB 0410 80, Narvesh Plaza Incorporated.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's what I was talking about. I'm sorry.
Case number 35.
It is in noncompliance. This is the one that I need to adjust the address.
Okay.
631. It's not on the Volusia County. It's something that's happened because of the change, because of the actually because of the wall they took out, and now they have different addresses. But
637, will it be 631?
631 and 635, 637 is the, because I had 635
through 637.
Yes.
North Grandview.
And I'd like to extend that to the next cutoff to allow them time to get the permit through the review process, and they don't see any issues with it.
Chair would entertain a motion found in respondent noncompliance and adjusting the address of the property to 631 through 637 North Grandview, and allowing the respondent until May 5, 2010 to come into compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
I think you may just clarification, because you only mentioned odd addresses.
So were
you like on one side of the street? Is it 631, 635, and 637?
Correct.
Whether
it's
631, 633, 635, 637, or 631, 635, 637.
Yeah, there's no 33 in there.
Okay, Chair would amend the motion.
All these addresses are the subject of a violation.
Yes.
Okay.
Chair would amend the motion. find and respond in noncompliance and amending the address of the property to include 631, 635, and 637 North Grandview, and allowing the respondent until May 5, 2010 to come into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
I did post the structure. They did. I had verbal contact, and they did receive all the notices, so it's all the same building.
Okay. Case number 36 has been disposed of. Case number 37 is in CEB 041082 is in compliance as of March 26, 2010. Case number 38, CEB 041083, Vincent Chitino Jr. and Lisa Soriano.
Compliance 331.
Okay. Case number 39, CEB 041084, is in compliance as of March 10, 2010. Case number 40, CEB 041085, is in compliance as of March 26, 2010. Case number 41, CEB 041086, Adele Demetrius and Samia Morcos.
Compliance 329.
Cooking today, Steve.
Thank you.
Case number 42, CEB 041087, Adele Demetrius and Samaya or Samia Morcos, 337 Plaza Boulevard.
Compliance 46.
Case number 43, CEB 041088, Adele Demetrius and Samia or Samaya Morcos.
Compliance 46.
You want to roll, Steve?
Thank you.
That's in compliance?
Yes, sir.
46. That's a 46. Case number 44. Don't spoil it now, Steve. CEB 041089. Pede J. Miller, or PD J. Miller.
That is in non-compliance, partially in compliance of storage and outside all the outside storage has been removed. He's in the process of again resodding and redoing his irrigation, and this was his issue was based upon some of these other issues of trucks driving over his driveway, with ruined his irrigation, and so the subsequent
cutoff
dead guard. Next cutoff, please.
Chair will entertain a motion finding respondent non-compliance and allowing respondent until May 5, 2010 to come into compliance by returning to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Hey, John. Case number 13, CEB 031058, David Mayhew. What can you tell us, John?
Good morning.
Good morning. Is that your only case?
That's my only case.
Had I known that, I would have just brought you up and gotten you out of here.
It's okay.
What can you tell us about it?
This case started in December of 2009. I've had no contact. I've had one phone call. Attempted to return a phone call. No answer. Posted the property. Still no response. The property remains to be in non-compliance. The most recent picture was taken this morning. And city would like to impose fine of $50 per day to be capped at $10,000.
Okay.
Is it occupied?
I'm sorry?
Is it occupied?
It is occupied.
And no compliance?
That is correct.
I mean, no contact?
Contact.
That's also correct.
Unable to talk to anybody in the occupied?
Correct.
What's the value of the property, would you say?
I don't have that answer right now.
And there appears to be a signature of the on the card, and that is date. Well, I don't see the date. But someone did sign for the notice. Again, it doesn't reflect the date, but it was signed for, and it appears to be David Mayhew.
They signed for the notice of hearing?
I'm not sure what this is. There's no date on it.
Oh, they signed for the notice of hearing after posting. Okay.
Okay.
So they signed for the notice of hearing, but not
yes.
The notice of violation.
Well,
but the it was attached, correct.
Scott, it's occupied and has a no trespassing sign on the front door, and it's occupied.
That is correct. This case started, I was called out by the police department. They were serving search warrants there. So it was the police department, animal control, and a few other shenanigans.
You recommend how much a day?
$50 a day.
Chair would entertain a motion found in respondent and non. Well, we've done that. Chair would like to impose a fine of $50 per day, effective today, April 8, 2010, until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Cap.
Is that capped at $10,000.
Does that cap include interest or not?
Brown?
It should not.
Chair would entertain a motion then. Fine and respondent $50 per day, effective April 8, 2010, until compliance is achieved, with accumulated interest continuing, with a cap of $10,000 on the fine itself. Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Didn't get to see much of you, John.
I'm sorry?
Didn't
John,
get to see much of you, man.
Mr. Simpson,
trying to get along
inside
out there.
Picture. You were inside the house? Or?
Yes, ma'am. We went in, like I said, the case started as a search warrant for the police department. I was called out by the police for numerous code violations, junk vehicle, non-conforming use, dogs, outside storage, illegal additions to the property. It's
still a police issue, is it?
Actually, it's quiet on the police issue, but all the other violations are still existing. This morning, picture shows two additional junk vehicles that have mysteriously appeared. So, obviously, it's not improving.
Okay. Case number 20. Is CEB 031044, Robert L. Honeycutt, Jr. and Pamela S. Honeycutt, and that is 319 Fifth Avenue, Maine, and 160 South Hollywood Avenue.
Compliance 47.
Case number 22, CEB 041067, Caroline Daytona Properties, LLC. Hi, Barbara.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. The case at 1304 Idlewild is in non-compliance. Next cutoff.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come to compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay. Right. Case number 15, CEB041061, is in compliance as of March 23rd, 2010. Just for the record, case number 10, CEB021035, is in compliance as of March 23rd, 2010. Case number 23, CEB041068, Lily M. Barron Bell Estate, 1432 Illinois Street.
Yes, the case is in non-compliance. They have applied for the rental arc license, waiting to have the inspection done, so next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance and be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Case number 24, CEB041069, Leo Montanez, 157 Perfect Drive.
The case is in non-compliance. He has applied, waiting for an inspection. Non-compliance, next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance, allowing the respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Bourne, second by Mrs. Himes. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 25, CEB041070, is in compliance as of March 29, 2010. Case number 26, CEB041071, is in compliance as of March 29, 2010. Case number 27, CEB041072, Burgoyne Properties Incorporated, 132 North Beach Street.
132 North Beach Street is in compliance use today's date. Went by there this morning.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Case number 28, CEB041073, Galaxy Buick Incorporated, 521 North Beach Street.
For the record, they did show. I told them what was going to happen under our normal procedures, and they left. But I wanted to let you know that they did show. Okay. The property at 521 North Beach Street, failure to maintain commercial properties and non-compliance, next cutoff.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in non-compliance, acknowledge that the respondent was present at today's meeting and excused by the inspector, and allowing the respondent to come into compliance by May 5, 2010, to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 29, CEB041074, 330 Loomis Land Trust. That's 330 Loomis Avenue.
330 Loomis Avenue for failure to maintain vacant properties in compliance, 4610.
Case number 30, CEB041075, Assad O. and Selma Neo, 280 North Ridgewood Avenue.
Again, for the record, the owner did show, or the occupant did show, of the business. I excuse them based upon our normal procedures to give them to the next cutoff. And the property at 280 North Ridgewood for failure to remove outside storage is in non-compliance. Next cutoff, please.
Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until May 5, 2010 to come into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day,
so
and
moved.
Acknowledging that the respondent was present and excused by the inspector.
So
is there
moved.
Such a motion? I have a motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Bourns. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number 31, CEB 041076, 502 Rio Vista Land Trust, dated 2306, 502 Rio Vista Avenue.
Be advised, the owner lives out of state and could not appear today. I advise him of our normal procedures, and again, 502 Rio Vista is in non-compliance. They have applied for the rental license, as I understand it. Next cutoff, please.
What about the yard, Mark?
Yeah, the parking in the yard is still going on, but we're working on that.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent non-compliance, allowing respondent until May 5th, 2010 to come into compliance, or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250 and an imposition of a fine up to $1,000 per day, and acknowledging that the inspector excused the respondent who was present for the meeting today. Is there such a motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Brown. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Mark, where's Rio Vista?
That's the right there at the base of the Main Street Bridge.
That's what?
Right at the base of the Main Street Bridge on the west side.
Oh, Rio okay. Vista. Yep, yep, right. Okay. Okay. Yep. Yep, no worries. Okay. Thank you.
Case number 32, CEB 041077. Oh, sorry. Going back to case number 31. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thanks, Amy. Case number 32, CEB 041077, is in compliance as of March 30th, 2010. We've disposed of cases number 33, 34, 35, 36. Case number 37, CEB 041082, is in compliance as of March 26, 2010. We've also disposed of case number 38. Case number 39, CEB 041084, is in compliance as of March 10th, 2010. Case number 40, CEB 041085, is in compliance as of March 26, 2010. And we have also disposed of case number 41, case number 42, 43, and 44. Is there any miscellaneous business?
Just one thing. On the issue of the question of interest after the on the capped fine, something I can think about when I talk with Mark that I didn't mention to you guys just for some consideration. When those fines are running, there's no interest accruing. So when you're saying with interest to that such as that marked amount, it would not be considering the interest while if it's running fine. So for instance, if the fine was to come into compliance after the fine accrued to say $8,000, and then it continues to accrue interest to reach the cap of $10,000, then I guess that's what that would mean. But otherwise, it wouldn't really have, it would be of no interest if it continues up into the point of without coming into compliance, it continues to accrue. So just so understand what that means, we must say that. Okay? That's all.
Is there any other?
I've been called 15 times. I've been around to see what.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
Is there any other miscellaneous business?
The question came up again last night.
You want to talk about it, but, you know, did they? I don't think we can do it since it's not on the agenda. It was on the agenda last month.
Ms. Himes has a comment also.
Just put it back on the agenda.
What's the matter?
We're supposed to discuss previously whether the board wanted to go on record as saying that liens imposed by this board would be reviewed by this board, and liens imposed by special magistrate would be reviewed by the magistrate. And apparently, we didn't bring it up for a vote last time, and Amy asked if we wanted to bring it up again. I don't think we can do it at this meeting. I think it again has to be on the agenda.
That's correct.
So might put it on the agenda again next month, Amy, if you want to go on official. Although I'm beginning to get silent on this thing.
Well, you know, one of the judge had mentioned about getting the people that are here out first. I think is that the kind of consensus everybody wants us to do? You want to work that up?
Well, we used to do that. We used to have everybody come up and sign up first. And then if they agreed to non-compliance next cutoff, they all went in the next room with Mark. and we took care of all, they were all taken care of at one time and never even appeared before us if they agreed to that.
They give them as one in all. In other words, they would read the cases off then and put them all in non-compliance next cut.
Right, all at one time.
Mention each case. But that was something done before, so you knew what the numbers and everything. It's not like you just, you know, scramble then. I mean, it needs to be a little bit more organized, I think.
I think the reason we switched back to this process is so that the officers don't have to hang around for the entire meeting.
Well, is it possible just to, I mean, this is off the record.
What did you name it for?
If you see some person here that's here early and prompt, and it's like the 38th case, why make that person sit there? Maybe it, as we see some people that are here, ask them, you know, they're not that many. It's just sort of a courtesy, really, to these people.
I guess they could come up and sign up with Amy when they come in with their case number.
Sure.
And we could take them in the order in which they sign up with Amy.
Yeah, I mean, that way it's just, you know, I mean...
Both inspectors here.
Yeah, right.
But you also have a process. If you have a first-time person here, you want them to see what may happen if they don't come
right.
to compliance.
Yeah.
So you would need to separate a group of people that do have reoccurring cases come first.
Well, you know, usually...
Because that is, that's, you know...
Would that cause an undue burden for you, Amy?
I think what we did today was pretty good.
Yeah, we would take the cases, take the new cases after
right.
we took the reoccurring cases,
right.
but they could still sign up, and we would take them in that order.
The other thing is getting here and setting everything up and putting, making sure the room's put together, and then having the time to
right.
sign in everybody before the meeting starts. If we're going to start right at 9, that's probably, you know, and as people come in, to the meeting and they're signing up here, I'm trying to listen to what if the meeting's going on. I can't listen
right.
to take notes.
Yeah,
it's hard enough if somebody asks me.
We'd
questions.
Have to do it before the meeting started.
Well, everyone doesn't show up for the
what
meeting.
What we did today seemed to work.
Yeah.
Once you called the people that came up one at a time, there's no problem. It's
yeah.
Well,
maybe the inspector, like Mark had somebody that was here that I think really needed to wait, like many
right.
people don't. He could just come to us and say, I have a person here. Can we?
Sure.
Can they visit with them right away without going through all this rigmarole? But, you know, sad to see people here that are responsible, are coming for the
right.
first time, are here on time,
right.
and they have to listen to these excuses, well, I didn't get it in the mail for an hour. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I think it's important, though, Tad, that they see the consequences of not showing up. So when we have cases where we fine, they need to see that they can be fined for that.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I think we did a good job today. And, if they came up one at a time and the inspector brought them up, it seemed like they worked out good today.
Yeah,
hi. Okay. Ms. Hines, you had a comment?
I'm just saying the commissioners are waiting for a workshop.
Yeah.
Talking up again last night.
Yep.
Great.
And our last workshop was canceled.
Comments by members of staff or the board? Great. We adjourn.
Good job.
Thank you.